From Evermank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com live starts right now.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton. The day after the Jags fall 31-25 to the San Diego Chargers, Jaguars.com live presented by Everbank. We'll take you up to Gus Bradley's press conference as scheduled for 1 o'clock, the regular Monday day after. Plenty to get to today. We start off, guys, with the red zone woes.
I hope you guys are up today because I'm down.
You are down.
That was tough. I mean, I really thought December was going to have a kick to it. You know, the last couple of weeks, I get the long term, and I still think this team is heading in the right direction, but that one was tough. So be happy, Brian.
Well, I generally, you know, when you look at the life that I lead, right, I am pretty happy.
I don't want
right?
to.
I'm pretty happy. Right. I said it in my op-ed for ITJ today, but, you know, they've reached their level. It is what they, you know, they are what they are at this point. You know, we can look at Marquise Lee and Julius Thomas and Rashad Green coming in. You know, you have the two Allens and the quarterback was playing better. Now you mix these guys in and they'll only get better and the schedule isn't getting tougher and they can make the run. And I know at least myself, I was deluded into thinking that they were ready to go, but they're not. I mean, you can't look at their red zone production and say, oh, yeah, no, they're ready to go. Because yesterday, did you not feel when Julius was tackled at the 10? Darn, I wish he could have gone in, you know, because they're probably not going to score from here. When, and it may be a year from now, we say, oh, yeah, great, here you go, 7 points, which is what the great teams do. All right, well, then it'll be a completely different scenario. But right now, they are what they are. They're not good in the red zone.
Yeah, and it's what great teams do. It's what Blake Bortles is going to be the discussion. And when you're talking about red zone, it has to center around him. I firmly believe the more I watch him play that the upside is there, that he is headed toward a place where we won't be having this conversation. But for a young quarterback, yesterday in the red zone, the reason for the 3 out of 4 field goals rather than touchdowns is because he's not ready yet to be a great red zone quarterback. I believe he will be, but that development has to happen before it happens.
JP, I will tell you what I really like about Bortles, and that was he stood in that news conference yesterday and said, what are you going to do, tell him to quit being an idiot? Which is, hey, you know, I get it. I made mistakes. I know what I'm going to do to get better. We've all been around quarterbacks who wouldn't be so forthcoming. I think he's going to be fine. It's just they're not there yet.
That's what differentiates him, Brian, and I believe that's why he has made – the strides that he has made. Again, people get tired of hearing this. This time last year, sitting in this, on this moment, talking about him, anybody who looked at him and said, I know he's going to be really good, I don't believe, you know, I didn't know. I hoped. Now I look at him and you can see all the signs of, I don't think he would have made those strides if he hadn't had that trait that you're talking about, that ability to say, yeah, I blew it. Let's figure it out. Not worry about it. Let's figure out how to get better from it. That's the thing that I think he'll take with him and allow him to grow.
It's the humility that Gus always talks about, live and in person. You know, Blaine Gabbert, for all his physical qualities, didn't have that.
Right.
He never would have stood down there and said, I was an idiot. You know, how do you coach that?
Right.
Never would have. So when he said that, I just kind of laughed, and I thought, all right, well, they've reached that level offensively where, you know, do they need to get better? Yes. Can they get better? Absolutely. Look at all the weapons that they have. Mm-hmm. But they've got to get better offensive line play, which I think they will get when Brandon Linder is back. And then you'll have a more experienced quarterback who will flatten as he goes down the line of scrimmage, draw them up, throw it over.
And that'll happen in increments, JP. I don't think you're going to see all of a sudden them be a 65% red zone offense.
Sure.
It's going to take some time. And that's what we're watching. We're watching those maddening things that are the development of a young quarterback.
30th in the NFL in touchdown percentage inside the 20. That's 15 touchdowns and 36 trips this year. And guess what? You go over to the other side of the ball. Use yesterday for an example. 12th year quarterback, Phillip Rivers, 5 trips, 4 touchdowns. There's your ball game.
And it was interesting what you said, Brian. I hadn't seen your editorial yet, but I think for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been talking about this team being a certain thing. On offense, they're a team that is not yet ready to be an outrageously effective red zone team.
Yeah.
Or not even a good red zone team yet. On defense, I think we know exactly what they are. They're a team that struggles to get to the quarterback, and they're a team that's not particularly comfortable or great at blitzing. I think yesterday, even if you had been comfortable at blitzing, you can't blitz Phillip Rivers every time because he's going to beat you doing that. So you're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. This team has trouble beating good quarterbacks because you can't allow good quarterbacks time to beat you. When good quarterbacks have time, they're usually going to win, and that's what's holding the defense back right now is that lack of ability to get to the passer.
If the Jaguars had scored touchdowns on their first two trips into the red zone, that defense would have been completely different.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been able to do different things. Blake Bortles and this offense are going to lift this defense. Now, the defense is going to get better when Dante Fowler Jr. is out there, and they add a little bit more talent. You know, where you choose, safety, linebacker, another pass rusher, however. But when this team is scoring touchdowns in the red zone, that defense will change, mm-hmm. and you will see this team lift. It's all about the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about scoring touchdowns and not field goals, and we talked about it all week. You could just see it coming. You're going to beat Marcus Mariota. No problem. You'll beat him with field goals this year.
Right.
Probably not next.
Mentioned the pass rush and mentioned Dante Fowler Jr. For a young team that is still building, it's not a completely built roster, 1-53, so to speak. Losing Cedric Marks and Dante Fowler out of a pass rush that I'm not sure that you believed was completely developed in terms of depth anyway, losing those two guys, if you figure Dante's a 7-8 sack guy as a rookie would be
mathematically, I did the numbers on this,
yeah.
More like 5.5-6.
Okay, so you're still losing that threat, and then you lose Sens 8, 8.5. That's half of what you expected a okay potential pass rush to be anyway.
Well, and then think about what Fowler does for Clem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he isn't playing as many snaps, and he's playing in that third down role, which Gus said they envisioned
him
back in the spring. So, again, he lifts it, much like the offense will eventually lift the defense around here. But here's what he would have given you, that disruptive nature.
Yep.
Whether he gets to the quarterback or not, the quarterback has to move his feet,
yep.
has to look and see what's coming, and they don't have that right now.
No.
Jaguars.com live presented by Everbank. Gus Bradley press conference at 1 o'clock, just a few minutes away. We'll carry that live. And one of the big topics today, big questions will be the Jaguars' run game on offense. 12 runs by running backs yesterday. I think 9 for T.J. Yeldon for 36 yards. D-Rob had 3 for 23. Bortles, you know, scrambled 6 times for 33 yards. But the questions are going to come. Why weren't there more runs? Why weren't there more runs in the red zone?
Well,
I think the second is more important than the first.
Okay, and I totally agree with you, because the first, when you look at the number, it's 21-9 at the half, right? Immediately now, you know you've got to start throwing the football. So
and they were effective between the 20s.
Yeah, they were.
Run, pass, whatever, they were moving the ball. It was between the 20s where it bogged. I mean, it was in the red zone where it bogged down.
But the second one is the one that everyone's wondering. Why doesn't T.J. Yeldon get more looks in the red zone? Especially because, again, I'm going from my memory, you watched Alabama passionately. It seemed to me like when he was having to hit the corner and look for a cutback in the red zone, T.J. Yeldon always scored at Alabama. That mm-hmm. seems to be his game. That little stretch play that the Colts did so well with Edgerrin James, mm-hmm. and I've said time and again, he reminds me so much of Edgerrin James, the ways that he runs. I'd like to know why they don't get him the ball in the red zone more often.
I think yesterday, Gus talked about it in his press conference. There were some run-pass options when they were in the red zone that it sounds like Blake looked at and said, pass is the best option here, and that took Yeldon out of it in the red zone yesterday on those 9 plays that we're going to dissect. The question becomes, is it a situation where you have to send him in and say, TJ is going to run here? They got caught in a little bit of what you might call no man's land, in the sense that I think TJ would have definitely got runs had they been in that first and goal at the 3, first and goal at the 2 situation.
Sure.
They were always sort of outside the 10.
Well, remember,
I'm sure to Blake felt more like, okay, this is a passing deal. We're not going to slam it in from here. I think we're talking about young quarterback stuff that area will smooth out over time. I think it goes back to what we talked about at the top.
I'm old school on the deal. A good play works, a bad one doesn't. It's just, I'm curious to see him, as many people are, with the ball in his hands, because he's just, his vision is outstanding, mm-hmm. and I think that works. But again, getting him to that point where you're at first and goal 3, It's the evolution of the red zone offense.
I think what also happened here, and I hate to play, I think what happened, put yourself in Blake's mind. He said something in his post game yesterday about you've got to go with what's working. TJ had a real good run on the first drive. And then after that, I tweeted out a stat. I think it was 8 yards on 6 carries in a little spurt right after that. And you wonder if it worked early and then a couple of drives it didn't. Once you get down to the red zone, is there just not that intrinsic confidence of having felt it work around you the last couple of times and then it sort of snowballs to where you're passing? I don't know. That made a little sense when I thought about it.
Another topic today, another key interception for the Jaguars quarterback. We mentioned the red zone, young quarterback things. But turnovers in key times of the ball game, a two-minute situation. You still want to be aggressive before halftime. That's been a situation where the Jags have been good this year, mm-hmm. but just an interception you just can't have.
Yeah, I didn't think, and Mike Dempsey this morning clearly disagreed with me, I didn't think that interception was as inexcusable as a lot of the ones he's thrown.
Teo did a good job of masking his coverage.
Yeah, I think that was a play. And when Gus talked about it after the game, and Gus has had situations this year where he said, yeah, pass couldn't happen, you know, that couldn't happen. They didn't seem very upset with that read, with that play. Sometimes the defense beats you.
Well, it wasn't.
It felt like they won that one, but yeah. I didn't think that was nearly as big an issue for Blake yesterday. The timing of it was terrible because all of a sudden you're down double digits. But the red zone stuff, not being able to close, I think was a far bigger issue.
Yeah, I said it last week. The throw that he made that was intercepted against the Titans, where he threw from outside the numbers
right.
on the left side all the way back to the right.
It's sort of a cardinal sin interception.
Yeah, that's not his throw. That's not what Aaron Rodgers may be the only guy who makes that throw perfectly on a regular basis. And that one bothered me. And it was near the red zone, so that one bothered me especially. Yesterday's didn't, because I saw Teo kind of lurking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they beat him. The issue that you have is just the red zone.
Right.
I mean, the kid, he moved the ball up and down the field. Well, they have 406 yards right. of offense. They've been good on third down this year compared to last.
Which is why it's sort of hard to say, hey, they should have run, they should have run, they should have run.
Yeah.
You know, you have 406 yards. You feel like you're in a rhythm and you're doing something right. Sometimes you can say it, the red zone killed you.
Yeah, sure.
It's either play calling or it's execution in many cases, right? And in some cases, it's very clear. But in this case, you know, maybe it's a blending of both. Maybe there's not a confidence level in certain packages. Who knows where it's at? And again, good play works, bad play doesn't. But I'm sure that when you get to the offseason, that red zone is going to be broken down into 100 different ways to figure out what works and what they do best. I'll say this, too. I really think that the red zone struggles have been exacerbated, especially the running red game struggles, like on the goal line there against the Titans, without having Brandon Linder. You know, nothing against A.J. Can, but Brandon Linder is a road grader and one of the best guards in the AFC, and not having him limits you with a rookie guard.
It's really tough to just absolutely will your way into the red zone with the running game in the NFL these days. You've got to have a balance there, and a lot of it goes back to veteran quarterbacks. You saw Phillip Rivers, 4 or 5 down there, and we were talking earlier today. The image that you have of Phillip Rivers yesterday was this.
Right, yeah. Sure. Right,
he knew.
Directing traffic. He knows how to get you into the right play. Blake's not at that level yet, and that hurts you in the red zone.
Let's go down the hallway. We'll get an update on Allen Hurns today, and here's Gus Bradley's press conference.
All right, do a quick injury update. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball with wide receiver Allen Hurns. So as you know, Allen sustained a concussion when his head hit the ground during the fourth quarter of yesterday's game. He was taken to the hospital for precautionary measures, and all tests in regards to his head and neck were negative. He was released from the hospital last night, and he'll be in the concussion protocol moving forward. So we'll have an update on his status on Wednesday. For wide receiver Brian Walters, Brian has some soreness in his lower back, so he'll go through treatment today. And, again, we'll have an update for you guys later in the week. On the defensive side of the ball was safety Josh Evans. Josh was evaluated on the sideline during the game for concussion-like symptoms and was taken into the locker room for further examination. He has been diagnosed with a concussion, and he will also be in the concussion protocol along with Hernsey. Cornerback Dwayne Grotz sprained his ankle during yesterday's game. He did return and finish the game, as well as defensive end Ryan Davis. He reported knee soreness during the game, but did end up going back in and finishing the game. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I know I mentioned it yesterday, but, you know, the key for us in yesterday's game was red zone, third down on really both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. Defensively, they had five trips, in the red zone. They came away with four touchdowns and a field goal, or 31 points on third down, 6 for 14 for 43%. You know, that was the story of the game, I think, defensively. Offensively, defensively, we tried to throw some different looks at them, came up with some different things. I thought for the most part, in the field area, the new things that we brought up played pretty well. I think we struggled in the red zone. You know, overall, we knew, you know, they would get the ball out quick and the rush would have a big impact on the game. We only had two sacks. I don't know, you know, a couple pressures, I think, but overall didn't get to them as much as we needed to. Special teams, I thought, had a solid game. I know we missed the extra point. Their punt returns, they had a couple long punt returns. But overall, the kickoff coverage team, the, you know, the punt block, that was crucial. The field goals that we made, all those were really good as far as the special teams. I think the last 2 weeks, our special teams unit has really come along. So I'll leave it open to questions.
You know, Rivers did throw quickly, but he also held on to it a long time, too.
Yeah, he did. You know what? We were hoping that some of these things would give us the opportunity to where you'd have to hold it on a little bit longer. And, you know, we just didn't get to him like we had hoped.
Were those things all coverage? Because a lot of four-man rushes, but were they back-end stuff?
Yeah, more back-end stuff.
How much could you tell early on he had sort of figured it out? Or
well, no, you know, I don't think it was where he figured it out. I'm sure, you know, he has seen a lot of looks. I just look at, you know, when you look at the game and you go, the first quarter we came out defensively and they had no points. You know, offensively, I thought we came out, we moved the ball down the field, get in the red zone. Instead of getting two touchdowns, we had two field goals. You know, so to come out of the first quarter 6-0, all right, pretty good. You know, we're playing pretty good. And then that second quarter, what, 21 points to 3? That was a bad quarter for us. And then to go in at halftime, I do think that interception took some wind out of us going in the locker room. You know, like we felt like we were punching the mouth a little bit. But I do give the guys credit in the second half. Defensively, we need to show up. And they came out with 2-3 and outs. And offensively, got the ball in good field position, drove down, another field goal. You know, so what, the third quarter, each team scored 3 points, and then the fourth quarter, I think it was, what, 17-7, you know, as far as points, or 13-7, excuse me. So that second quarter really, you know, on both sides, offensively and defensively, we just didn't play very well.
Mentioned last night, TJ, look at why he didn't get any red zone touches. What'd you find out?
Well, you're right. There was a couple, there was two calls there where it was more of a run pass option that we didn't get it to him. I think overall, looking at it, in the first half, we had 8 carries for 35 yards. You know, pretty efficient. There was 24 total plays, I think, in the first half. Or, you know, maybe a little bit more than that. But I think there was 18 passes and 8 runs. You know, to give him the ball a little bit more, or running backs the ball a little bit more, you could see the advantage of it. I think there was a point in time in the fourth quarter where we were in a 2-minute mode, maybe with 6 minutes left to go in the game, you know, where we got away from the run completely. But I think that, you know, with the yards per carry, we had over 100 yards, but Blake had quite a few of them as well. So I think that when you can run the ball, it opens up the play passes and allows for more explosive passes.
They were 4.9 yards per carry coming in defensively, the Chargers, and yet Yeldon only finishes with 9 touches. Is that what you're talking about? He needed to get the ball more.
Yeah, you know what? I understand that stat. They're, you know, they versus the pass too. Their numbers weren't great. I mean, they executed and they did their assignments well, but and we moved the ball on them. You know, we had 420 yards of offense and Blake over 300 yards passing. So, you know, we tried to mix it in. But, yeah, I think, you know, I have no argument or no discussion about looking at possibly running the ball more.
I guess at what point does Blake reach, I guess, the point where those mistakes, the stupid mistakes, like getting over the line of scrimmage twice, at what point does he reach the point that those are not supposed to be made anymore? You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure when that time comes. You know, if there's, you know, in 2 weeks it will happen, or, you know, if you can call it like that. But you hope he learns from all these. You know, we threw it, what, 40 some times in the game. He threw one interception. I don't know what's reasonable. I know that one hurt. I know it took the wind out of us a little bit. I do know that. But when you throw it 40-some times with a second-year quarterback, is there going to be a time when there's an interception? You know, I don't know what's realistic. And I think some of those mistakes that he makes. But we always say, hey, there's going to be penalties and there's foolish penalties. And I think both those were foolish penalties. And he'll be the first one to admit it. And he's got to recognize where he is on the field and the situation and understand the dynamics of it and go accordingly. But we hope, you know, he removes it real quick.
Talk to Allen Hurns at all?
Just in passing. You know, just how you doing and say he's doing good.
How scary is that when
Well, it's concerning anytime. You know, it's a team member that's out in the field and you're not sure what's going on. But, you know, our medical staff did a great job with it and how they responded to me after the situation in the locker room. You know, I'm just glad. I think we're all relieved that he's good.
And for you this season offensively?
Well, his leadership, first of all, off the field. And I think his leadership on the field is something that he brings to the table. The quarterback trusts him. Blake really trusts him. I think, you know, all members of the team really trust him. His work ethic and, you know, and he's a guy that really is what we're all about because every day that's what he's trying to do is find a way to improve. And I think every day he does in some facet of his game.
Marquise has now had 3 games back, but hasn't done a whole lot. What are you seeing out of him?
Well, we got him on a reverse, and, you know, I think he's gaining confidence. It's probably similar to, like, Julius. You know, there's a time period, though, when you come back from your injury, you're still working some things out, and he just keep getting better and better, and hopefully, you know, he hits full stride. He appears to be healthy, and he feels healthy. So, just trying to incorporate him more.
Mentally, he's ready for an increased role if Allen can't go for his concussion.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Marquise didn't get going last year until you had to throw to him. Other guys were hurt. How is he handling this part this year?
Well, when I talk to him, he's great. You know, he's a competitor, though. What he says and what he feels might be different. But to me, when I have conversation with him, he still just wants to keep getting better every day and keep improving. And I think with him, it is real in that he trusts, you know, it will come for him. You know, the opportunity will come.
What did you see in the matchups that Julius became such a big part of the game plan?
Well, I just think some of the reads and the progression took Blake to him. So I do feel like Julius every week has improved not only his concepts of understanding Blake and how the concepts work, but just his overall wind and, I think he had this is another game he had over 50 some snaps. So that's good. And he handled it. I just felt like when you watch him on tape, every play he's playing full speed. Well, I don't know if you could say that a couple weeks ago. So I think that gives him an opportunity in itself.
Are you getting what you need from the safeties in coverage?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, the safeties, we ask them to do a lot of stuff now. So some of the concepts bring them down in the box to help on the run. Some put them in man coverage. They do a wide variety of things. So I think just like with everybody, there's areas of improvement. But a guy like Jonathan Cyprian has put together a couple good games together. And we challenged him. He played man-to-man on Gates quite a few times yesterday. So, he stepped up to that challenge. Listen, this quarterback is outstanding, and Gates is a Hall of Fame, perennial Hall of Famer, too. So they're going to get some of those throws and catches. But, overall, very pleased with how he's performing.
Could you give us an update on Christmas this year, why he was inactive for so many games and why he decided to finally make it?
Sure. I think that, one thing that Chris Smith is that he practices very well. He practices very well, and then in preseason stuff, when he got into games, I think he showed a little bit of youth when he played in games. And the big thing for him was not so much the defensive line, although there were some things he needed to grow on there with special teams. A guy like that's got to be a really, really, advantageous for us to put him on special teams. And he was struggling a little bit on special teams. And with the injuries that we had and the guys that we had to have up, we were looking to give him opportunities to get up. It just didn't work out. This week, again, he's practiced very well through the whole course of the last month. So we want to take advantage of it. And this game really fit his need. I thought he played pretty good. You know, he had a hurry on the quarterback, a hit on the quarterback. So I thought he did some good things. Now, you didn't see him much on special teams. You know, he was more defensively.
One play more special teams? Or you
I'd like to see him, yeah. I'd like to see him. And some of the things is not want to. It's just trying to find a position for him to use his strengths. It's never been an issue if you would talk to Coach Mallory about, oh, boy, his effort or he's not into special teams. That's not the case. He's into it, but it's just trying to find out how to best utilize his skill set on special teams.
Continue to play him.
We'll take a look at it. Each week is different, but you know he did some good things.
Fourth down scramble with Rivers.
Yeah.
When you run a twist like that, are you taking the contain guy out of position?
No, no. I know it could look like that. We didn't run the twist game very well. You know, we didn't get the looper. You know, the end man line of scrimmage didn't run it exactly right, and so it got kind of muddled inside, and we didn't get the looper out fast enough. You know, you go into games, I think, with a guy like Phillip Rivers, and you're trying to condense the pocket, try to squeeze it from outside in. Even the style of rushes from the outside change a little bit because of his style. Going into the game, you're not real concerned with him losing contain and running, you know, but that one had hurt us. That one had hurt us.
You probably wouldn't run that game against a mobile quarterback.
No.
I thought you'd try to.
Yeah. When you're trying to condense the pocket more.
The illegal passes got a lot. He became kind of punchline-y, I guess, yesterday for Blake. But overall, he's still on pace to break franchise records for completions. Attempts, touchdowns come real close to yards. For a second-year quarterback, is his progression, has he met your expectations? Has he exceeded them a little short?
No, I think he's right on pace to where we thought. I think he's doing a really good job. I don't know. Yesterday, what was he, 61% completion or, you know, low 60s? Which is better than what he has been. So, you know, those things, the decision making, but you know, each game, there's going to be situations where, you know, that come up that maybe he's going to look back at and wish he made a different decision. But, overall, the progress he's made, you know, to come back and again, we've got a guy that has no fear now, even in the way he extends the plays. But, I think that moxie and things will come even more and more times he plays.
Rivers orchestrated their offense and exploited red zone matchups and things like that. Can that be a tool for Blake to use? Say, hey, this is how a 12-year vet does it. How can you help bridge this gap?
Well, I think that if you're in a system now, you know, granted, Phillip Rivers has been in different systems, but I think that the consistency of being with the coordinator for some years gives a quarterback that chance to kind of own the offense. You're right. He checked out of formations. He got him in a different. He set the protection, and he changed the route concept based on some of the things that he saw. And, you know, that takes a long time to be able to do that and a lot of trust in the coach to give that responsibility to the quarterback.
Scoot about this week?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. I think that'll be day to day.
Clemens and Branch.
For 10 days, you had, you know,
here we go.
Realistic playoff hopes. Now, look, you know, both other teams won, you lost. It looks kind of remote. So, how does the player react to these last five games now, which don't look like now they will have as much at stake as we thought maybe they would have?
Well, I think I have a pretty good idea how they'll react. You know, they'll go out. They want to get this right. They knew that we didn't play very well in these areas, the red zone and third down. And that's really their full attention is to get those areas right. To compare, that's really hard in the NFL. It's hard to compare for a player, for a team, with, you know, for a team like ours or any team to start looking at game one or game three or game five. It's just not a standard practice for us. And to say, okay, now let's start doing that. It's really not in their mode of thinking. Now, I don't want to be naive and say that I'm sure in their spare time or when they're at home, they kind of get an idea where we're at. But I think the mindset coming into practice that, you know, they're professionals. And it's about getting better and improving and correcting the things that we need to correct. And this team has great spirit and great will. You know, that's a part of it. And I appreciate that part because when we come back to work, I know what we're going to get. So I don't believe it'll be an issue.
Clemens and Branch yesterday had one tackle and three offside penalties. Is that as dismal as the stat sheet would indicate that it is?
Yeah, I think they played solid. Nothing over the, you know, to mention in here and say, hey, they had great games or anything like that. I think that you're going to have some when guys are, you know, there's times in defense alignment, it's not acceptable, but they're trying to get a great get off and they're trying to do it. So you may have, you know, on a team that passes it 40 times a game, you can have a, you know, one here or there, but, you know, they're just at critical times, third down situations. And, you know, so we got to clean those things up.
When the Leo doesn't produce, how much strain does that put on your scheme?
As far as with the rush, yeah, I mean, whenever you're rushing with four and you're playing coverage, and the quarterback can hold the ball, that puts strain on you. So, yeah, we'll take all the pressure we can get from four.
Does the red zone offense become a mental block?
You know, I don't think so. I think that's what I told the team. Obviously, it's an issue. I think we had problems with the red zone offensively early in the year, and then we seemed to get it corrected a little bit for a couple games, and now we're back in the last two games we struggle. So the big thing is not to go out there and press and try to make things happen. That's not the issue. The issue is that it's tighter windows. It makes you make quicker decisions, and you know, there's times when we just got to make quicker decisions. Even though they didn't get us sacked, there wasn't pressure, they did flush Blake a couple times, which sometimes can take you out of timing and reading your progression and routes. That did happen a couple times. So I think, you know, those things, that's correct, rather than press to try to find a way to score.
A couple of those first downs in the red zone, you look like you're trying to get half the yards, you know, four to Hearns. Thomas, is that a philosophical?
No.
Hey, your first and 10 from the 12, get something.
I can think of one specific situation where that happened. I'm not sure if it was second or third down where we threw it to Hearns on an underneath route, and they did a good job disguising their coverage. Blake felt like it was a different coverage than what they showed, and he went to the check, and they, you know, moved out of it and went to a different coverage. So, you know, that's why that one was a little bit shorter.
Is Blake second guessing what he's seeing down there? Is he? To make quicker decisions.
No, I don't think, I don't believe so. You know, there was a couple times where they dropped eight. They had a three-man rush, so it makes those windows even tighter. And, you know, whether it's on third down or, you know, second long, but they did that a couple opportunities. And, you know, in that situation, it, you know, forced him to hold the ball a little bit longer.
Quicker recognition of what he's seeing, though.
I would say in some of the route concepts that we're doing, you know, but, you know, the fades and the things like that that we're doing down there. Some of the underneath routes that Ryan was talking about, you know, that's just understanding the coverage and taking it with what they give to you.
Now that Julius is fully healthy and more adept with Blake, can he become even a bigger role in the passing game?
Well, you know, I think every game is different. You know, it's, you know, I think we mentioned earlier in the press conference, you know, Julius, let's get him even more catches. Well, how about Marquise Lee? And how about Allen Robinson? How about Allen Hearns? And how about Rashad Green? You know, and there's only so many. So I think sometimes when you see a number of catches like that for Julius, sometimes the read took him to him. You know, and the progression took to him. So, you know, I can't say week to week this is how it's going to go. There's some things set up for all the players. They each have opportunities within the system, and we're trying to exploit some things with matchups.
It's easy to talk about grit and fighting spirit for a team after they win, but there you are down 12 under 2 minutes to go, and somehow you find a block punt when you basically pulled the goalie, I guess, and sent everybody there. Is that another example to say, hey, this is just a tough team to kill?
Yeah, I think the resolve, and that's the same thing when we came out in the second half, when we came out and the defense had 2-3 and outs. You know, that's all really good stuff. I think what's impressive about the punt block is not many times you get an opportunity to run that live. And the guys came in, we jumped to it. I mean, you walked through it, but, you know, when you looked across the board, everybody did what they needed to do and did their responsibilities. And it's not like you practice that every day. So, you know, give credit to Coach Mallory and Coach Smiley and the team for executing when it was called. But you're right. I think that's a great example.
I think where Ryan Davis may have got caught having to cover Antonio Gates.
Yes.
Is that by design? Or
we could have made a check out of that. We had a check out of it. We didn't make it. There was some gray area there as far as his split, and we didn't make the check.
On Gates' two touchdowns, was there anything that you were displeased about in how the secondary covered it, or was it just you kind of mentioned Gates just making and Rivers just kind of making plays?
Well, I think the one you know, we changed up how we played it in the second half. You know, going into it, kind of had an idea, you know, what would be the best way. That's something they've done for years. So they have a lot of combinations. They run off of that. We decided to play it a certain way, and they took advantage of it. That was on House, the one that he was on. So that's really not on him. He could squeeze a little bit more, but that's more, you know, they made the right read on it. There's a couple times with leverage, you know, whether it's inside or outside leverage, whatever we ask the player to play on, you know, he lost leverage on that side. you know, but, you know, give credit to the receiver.
Yeah, Baltimore had some success thrown to the tight ends, and then Delanie Walker had over 100 yards, and then yesterday. Is that something that need – are you worried about that becoming a trend, or is it just players making plays?
In the red zone, though?
Well, just the tight end in general, the opposing tight end production over the last three games.
No. The tight ends are a threat, man. I mean, look at Julius Thomas. I mean, it's always a tough matchup. They had an explosive play where we didn't get the right check out. So I think you look at it differently. Gates has been a tremendous player in the red zone. It's not like we weren't aware of his abilities down there. And, we just didn't play it very well. But out in the field, I think you always have to have great awareness where the tight ends are. Each team is different how much they utilize them. Delanie Walker's another one. You have great awareness where he is at all times.
I know you've talked about Allen Robinson before, but I think he's on the verge of surpassing 1,000 yards, which would be the first time a receiver's done it here in like a decade. I mean, what kind of an impact has he had at such a young age? Did you expect him to be this impactful, I guess?
Well, we felt like the progress he was making, some of the things, you've been here since OTAs and training camp, and you've seen him, we've talked about some of the plays he makes in practices. So I think it's cool that it's starting to show up, has shown up on the game field. And that's a credit to him. And I think that, you can see the trust Blake is developing in him. He's giving him opportunities. A while ago, we were talking about, you got to take some chances. Give these guys a chance to make plays. And he's doing that. And, Allen's taking advantage of it. So, I'm very, very pleased with his progress. Is it surprising? Well, not when you see him out in the practice field do some of these things. So, but I'm excited that it's transferring over the game field.
Blake throws 49 passes, that's just too much in a game.
Yeah, you would like to try to get some balance, you take away 2 minute situations. I think coaches always try to justify it. Take out the 2 minute, take out the situations where we're behind, take out this. See, he only threw it 24 times. The truth of the matter is he threw it over 40 times. And, I just think that it will make him even better and it'll make our team better if we can get closer to some balance. And, some of that is when you get the lead. If you're ahead by 10 points, then you can see the dynamics change a little bit. Yesterday we weren't in that situation. We were down 21-9. Does that mean the run game leaves? No, it doesn't. You still run the ball. But, you're down 21-9. You're looking for scores. So, the emphasis on the run game or to change it up may not be there like it is in the first quarter. But I think overall.
You're also up 6-0.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think we ran it 8 times. And I don't know after 6-0 how many of those runs came up after that. So you're not going to have any argument from us that we need to try to find a way to run the ball more. I think it'll just help overall. Okay, thank you.